to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we are excited about the show today. I have an awesome, fabulous, phenomenal guest on, and we're going to bring her on in just a minute. We want to get people, give people an opportunity to tune in, to dial up, to go get their friends, their grandmas, your nieces, your nephews, your daughters, your... Listen, if you have a daughter that is about to get married, about to get engaged, about to start her own business, a niece or a goddaughter, granddaughter, any woman that you know, you want to text them. If you've ever texted anything of worthwhile, you definitely want to text this, and I know you do. You text all kinds of worthwhile things, but this is one more you want to add to that list. You want to text the number 347-945-7991. Someone's going to be set free today. Someone's going to be delivered today from emotional and psychological strongholds. We have as our guest today the renowned Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, who is just phenomenal, and she's a motivational speaker, an inspirational speaker. She is a renowned psychologist. She has two doctorates, two masters, and all other kind of degrees. Yes, Kiva, that's right. You text, because I'm going to dial her in. This awesome woman is going to be our keynote speaker at our event coming up August the 25th. That's not this Saturday, but next Saturday in Newark, New Jersey, in the Union Building downtown, right next door to the Gateway, a block away from Penn Station. This is a woman that you've heard many times. You've read her columns, just like I did, in the Essence magazine. And you've heard her on the Michael Bazin show many times, often not able to dial in or maybe get the questions answered that you wanted. Today, you're going to have that phenomenal opportunity. Toward the end of the broadcast, I did speak with her and ask her if it was okay if we had a couple of questions. But we expect the phone lines to be jammed because this woman is absolutely no joke. Her powerful new book, The Best Kind of Loving, I'm telling you, she talks about everything that we need to know about as women, as African-American women. I mean, and just a wonderful person. I can't wait to introduce her to you. I can't wait for you to meet this awesome, awesome woman right here on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to, without further ado, because I know some of you cannot wait, to hear from her, and then we'll tell you later how you can get tickets to the live event where she will be in the city of Newark in about a week. So you just stay right there. Do not hang up, okay? You can call in. You can, if you want someone to call into the show, give them the number 347-945-7991. If they want to go into the chat room, they can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TheLalisaWilliamsShow. So we're going to dial her up right now, and you are going to get to hear for yourself how awesome this woman is and the work that she has done. I'm telling you, she has done an amazing, we're dialing her up right here. Her phone is ringing. I'm excited because she is absolutely, when I tell you,
she hello.
Hello, Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant. Welcome to the Lalisa Williams Show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Oh, we are delighted. We are excited. We have people on the phone line. We have a lady in the chat room. She's texting her other friends and people that she knows. And I just wanted to give people a few minutes to get on the line so that they don't miss not one drop of our conversation today. But Yes, we are so blessed to have you.
Thank you.
Oh, we are thankful. We know that you travel all over the country, all over the world, sharing this awesome knowledge that you have, and we're going to get into that in a moment because I was talking with you earlier and just so excited for the information that you are going to be sharing. Just powerful stuff. I called some people in Ohio, and I told them, you know, get your daughters on the line, get your nieces, your goddaughters, your aunts, your grandmothers, your mothers.
Wonderful.
You have such a relevant word, Dr. Grant.
Thank you so much. I'm trying to help women to find their power.
Oh,
and,
God.
And not shy away from that. You know?
You know, that right there, you know, we could just hang our hats almost, even though we're not, because you have so many other powerful tips that you're going to share.
Mm-hmm.
But that
Absolutely.
Is such a huge and amazing, amazing tip right there. We need to help. You said you're helping women to find their power.
Their power, yes.
And, you know, and I told people in the beginning of the show that you're also going to be in Newark, New Jersey on the 25th. Down at the Union Building, it's called 1199J, Live in the Living Color. Many people have listened to you. They have followed you, some, but they've never met you in person. And I was watching you on YouTube when you were on NBC down there in Florida. You are
talking to people.
A powerhouse. I don't know why. You know, they ought to have you piped in every morning in every single school, every single school. They need to start the day off with a five-minute segment of Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, and I can guarantee you that our little girls will grow up to be the phenomenal women. And, oh, man, anyway, I could go on and on with that. You are just so real. But this power, you said that you're helping women to understand their power.
And discover
and why, you know, how did we, you know, where is the power? How did we, why don't we have the power, you know?
Because we didn't know where it is or where it still is. We just don't know.
We still don't know.
Yes.
But we got everything. We have iPads. We have, you know, we can go get our nails done. We have the fanciest day spas where you can, I had a massage the other day that was just phenomenal. We have all of this, Dr. Grant. How is it that we're missing this power, and what is this power?
Because it is the spiritual part of ourselves. That's why we miss it. Because we are mind, body, and spirit. Discovering your power is a spiritual journey.
But we go to churches. It's, you know, we go to church.
But we don't get the spiritual part. part of this, because we respond to what we can touch, see, taste, and hear, and that's our problem. Spirit cannot be touched. It can be felt, but it cannot be touched. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, that's our problem. We don't know how to discover this, because it is the spiritual part of ourselves that is God-given, this power that we're talking about. And we have to seek that power through a truth, and we don't know what the truth is. So therefore, we can't find the power. Okay?
Well, wow.
What
so how can
truth?
We begin to tap into
truth?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out who's the truth. What is the truth? Mahatma Gandhi said, "Truth ever is, and untruth never was." So, what is the truth? Jesus gave us the truth. What did he say? "I am the truth, the life, and the way." It's just so simple until we miss it. Because what's our greatest fear in life? Marianne Williamson wrote about that. What's our greatest fear? What do you think it is, our greatest fear?
Gosh. He said our greatest fear, she said, is not. She said our greatest fear is not that we will be successful, but our great, no, is that we will be successful, yeah, beyond our own imagination.
Yes. Our greatest fear is not our inadequacies, that we're inadequate, she says. See, our greatest fear is that we're so powerful.
That's right. Wow.
It frightens us that we're so
powerful. Wow.
That's our greatest fear. We fear our own power. So we play, Marianne Williamson says, we play it small in the world to make other people feel comfortable.
So we fear our own power. Oh.
We fear our own power. So we play ourselves very small. So we shrink so other people won't feel insecure around us. So, but we are born to manifest this glorious, powerful self inside of us, because it's invisible. Nobody can take it from you. Only you can suppress it. It's invisible, this power. That's what makes it so magnificent. No one can take it from you because it's God-given. But we shrink, and because we don't want people to feel inadequate around us, so we kind of suppress our power, and we kind of play the role of inadequacy, because we're trying to. I did that in 10th grade, and I got over it, and I wrote about it in my book. People will bully you into the suppression of your power. Okay? And I got over that in the 10th grade. My mother helped me to get over it, because I was trying to prove myself to the peer group, you know, that I wasn't this vibrant, powerful, on my way, successful thinking girl. I was going to be one of the girls who did what the other girls did, so they wouldn't feel inadequate around me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to teach our children out of, okay?
So now we have to get... Mm-hmm. Now we have to get them to see that it's okay to have goals and to have.
It's okay to be smart, like Michelle Obama. It's okay to be smart. Okay.
Yeah, she's not a one-hit wonder.
She's not a one-hit wonder. Okay.
Wow.
We've got to teach our children that, because this is the century of the woman. This is the century of the female. We were suppressing all the other centuries, but now this is our century.
You know, and you're going to be talking to a group of, you know, women who are inspiring to be leaders and entrepreneurs on the 25th, and I know that is one of the main subjects that you deal with in women, the small business women. I heard you when you were talking about your speech down in Florida when you spoke down there, and your congratulations to the wonderful work that you've done with your your children. Your son is a physician.
An actor.
An
my
actor.
My daughter is a physician. You see that?
Wow.
You see that? My daughter is a physician. Most
wow.
people would think my son would be the physician. He's the actor. She's a physician. And the other one is the other one is a businesswoman.
Wow.
In most families, the son is the physician. Huh? But in my family, my daughter is the physician.
Wow, and you groom these individuals with the same concept that you're here teaching us today.
That's correct. That's correct. And you must pay attention to who's teaching you. look at their products. My children are my products. Take a look at my products. So to validate what I'm saying to you, because charity begins at home. So therefore, take a look at my products. I got three products. I have four because I raised my niece, too, and she works for the government. College educated. So take a look. When people speak to you, always look at their products, the people, that, the people that they raised. And see
but, you know,
working.
Dr. Grant, when I was a little girl, you know, I was when I can remember being in kindergarten, as early as kindergarten, and then first grade, second grade. By the time I got to third grade, I had been so reprimanded and beaten, because back in those days you could actually still whip your child with a belt and ironing cord, because they said in school I did nothing but daydream. And they said that they said I, you know, I lacked attention. They would write notes home to my mother, and my mother and father, you know, they were busy trying to work and take care of me and, you know, the five or six other children. End up being seven of us, but by the time I was in the kindergarten, there were still maybe just four of us. And all I remember is that I was bad. I was bad because I was daydreaming, and I remember, like, looking out of the window and, you know, thinking about stuff, but I just couldn't get it. And then by the time I ended up in the eighth grade, I was just done, and then I ended up dropping out of high school.
Yes, because they would label you with an attention deficit disorder. That's what they do to children like you today.
See, if I was today, oh, my God. I would hate to have been with the way I was. I mean, oh God, that just makes
As a psychologist, I want to correct what they did to you.
Please.
You were not daydreaming. You were future dreaming.
Thank you.
I love that terminology. You were You were future dreaming. That's why.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why you're so successful today. You were future dreaming. Okay. They were trying to encapsulate you with all the other children, and God had your destiny in His hands, not in the teacher's hands.
Thank you, God.
Absolutely. Because here we are trying to encapsulate children in the classroom today. You probably, Lalisa, were bored. You probably were bored. You probably were advanced in your thinking, and you probably were bored, okay? So you went into what I call future dreaming. My husband had the same problem. The teacher called him a daydreamer. No, he was future dreaming. That's why he's so successful today. Most of the time, most kids are in our public schools today, their potential is not tapped into because their labels are slapped on them. That label tends to follow them for the rest of their lives, okay?
But I'm in my 50s, and this is, you know, and I just so thank God that I met you, you know, like, you know, it was like God, you know, had it all set up because God knows my heart that I hate when children are labeled like this because I know how it affected me.
Yes.
And how all those years I thought I was dumb and stupid, then I go to Essex County College in 1990, and I go there, and, like, my first semester I get straight A's, and I'm like, what happened? Because the labeling is no longer there. God removed the label. I thank God for you.
God removed the label and made you able. I do all things through me, amen, who strengthens you, okay?
And it took a psychologist like you to explain that to me. Like, I never in my life thought about talking to a psychologist ever. And when I met you at, you know, Franklin St. John's in that vestibule that day, you were just there, and I was just going to the ladies' room, and you said, like, three words to me, and I just thought, bawling like a little four-year-old, you know.
Because I talked about that in Essence Magazine, that we should go back and nurture our wounded child because she's still there. She's still in the classroom. She's still got that label on her, and you must go back and rescue her.
My God.
And
My God.
Her,
I just.
And tell her.
Now,
And tell her
nobody
could have
ever convinced me of that, Dr. Grant,
right.
If I hadn't. And I've heard many a persons talk about rescuing the child and all of that, but
it
has never been this clear and made this much sense until I started talking to you. And I never would have met you if it had not been for that our small chapel at Franklin St. John's, and you happened to be coming there. Your husband was preaching. I didn't even know who he was. And you were in that room. I said that to you, I never go to the bathroom during service. But that day, the Holy Spirit got me out of my seat. And when I got in that room, there was no one there but you and me.
That's it.
My God.
We rescued the wounded child.
And that's how important it is to God. And so if you're listening today, you need to really just let
and rescue the wounded child that's keeping you from your power.
Because you have the power. They have the power.
Yes.
Is that not right, Dr. Grant?
It's God-given. No one can take it away except you. Okay?
So if they're not if they're not acting in a powerful way,
that's right.
What is going on within them?
Usually it's someone who's helping to suppress it, mainly yourself, but others trying to please others, because, you know, women are great pleasers, you know. They think they must please everybody before they please themselves, which I'm trying to teach them to stop doing that, okay? Because you cannot be a full-fledged person until you get inside of yourself and begin to please Y-O-U. That's number one. What is the first law of nature? Ask the audience.
Self-preservation.
What's the first law of nature? Self-preservation is the first law of nature. Stop selling yourself short for other people just to please them and to make them feel secure. Please, first please God, then yourself. That's the way to find your power. Pleasing God, and then yourself. And you can't miss on this. Most kids, when we see them, two kinds of children that I've noticed. One is the showing off child.
Okay.
Actually, that's the label they slap on them, either the daydreamer child or the showing off child. Remember when you were growing up, you try to watch that girl, she's too fast?
Yes.
Well, Oprah said that's what they said about her.
Yes.
And the word is spelled F-A-S-S. Not fast, but fast. That's the way they used to say it. But what the child is exhibiting is the exhibition of their personal power.
What?
Oprah said that she was called fast. So was I. I was called fast.
Yes.
You better watch that little gal. She fast. In
other
words, she was showing future power right now.
Couldn't it.
And of course, in the black community, a child like that was fast. She was showing off, blah, blah, blah. What she was saying is, I have an identity, and I'm going to claim it.
Wow.
I have an identity that says I'm very powerful, I'm going to be successful, and I'm claiming it right now. But they get a negative label. I like the fact that Oprah says she was called fast when she was little.
God, my God. You know, and I heard in my house, my mother, you know, so she probably didn't want to use the term fast, so they would say, you're showing off.
Yes, you're showing off. That's right.
And so, again, would get beaten for that, because if you were at school and you were showing off, that was like a sin. That was like a sin. You don't do that.
That's
hitting the teacher. Like today, you hit the teacher, you get suspended. Well, back then, if you were showing off, you would get sent to the principal's office, who would give you a SWAT.
That's right. That's right. Actually, the child is exhibiting personal power.
And so, Dr. Grant, and then here I come, you know, 40 years later, and I write a book. God gives me a title, Release Your Power.
There it is.
I think you did it. Yeah, you know, and I think it's just a simple title. Okay, this is something. What is this? But, you know, I struggled with it for a while. But then you know how the Holy Spirit doesn't let things go. And that becomes the title of the book. And so, you know, from 2004, and I thought, and I didn't even, as a matter of fact, I wrote the book and just sold a few copies and then just, like, threw it to the side and said, all right, let me move on to the next thing. And it took me meeting a woman.
What's the title?
Release Your Power.
That's it. That's what you were doing.
And, you know, and it took me to meet a woman in the ShopRite. And we were talking, and my book came up. I was like, wow, God,
mm-hmm.
thank you. This
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
6 years, almost maybe 5 years later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you.
Yes. Release
wow.
your power. And that's a great message for this radio show.
Wow.
Telling women to release your power. That's what we're
And you didn't
about.
Even know of this book, and you're on here,
oh.
and the first thing you said to me was that they don't know where their power is.
They don't know where their power is.
That women don't understand their own power.
Power. Mm-hmm.
And I know in your book, go
mm-hmm.
ahead.
How do you manifest? How do you manifest your power? What is the avenue you go down? Through your imagination. It starts in your imagination. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You start imagining yourself in places that you want to go. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, in his book, The Power of Positive Thinking, calls it picturizing.
Wow.
You have to see it in your own mind. See, that's very spiritual. You can't touch it, but you can see it. That's spiritual. Okay? You have to picturize it. Why do you picturize? Dr. Norman Vincent Peale says you picturize so you can finally actualize.
Mm.
My mother used to say it like this: if you can't see it, baby, you can't have it.
Mm.
You've got to be able to see. And see, that's what you do when you so-called daydream. You're seeing these mind pictures in your own little mind about where you want to be and where you want to go. That's not daydreaming. That's future dreaming. Okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's what you were doing in the classroom that day.
And, you know, and I believe there are a lot of children today who are in those kind of places, and then if the parent doesn't understand, they don't know how to really direct the child,
that's
and
right.
then the child could end up falling off into a whole nother generation of this low self-esteem,
right.
and I'm not good enough, and I'll never
right.
have...
Yes.
And as a psychologist,
right.
you have studied this. You've studied
right.
these children and adults and
right.
how this happens. And so what are some of the, and I know you're going to give us lots of tips also on the 25th
yes.
when we talk
yes,
to
absolutely.
Women and women as leaders. Because
mm-hmm.
what can women as small business owners and women as leaders be able to do to really make a difference in
I
the
have,
world?
I have 7 steps that I'm going to give them. In order
wow.
to actualize this thing that you can picturize,
woo!
I'm going to give them 7 steps to get there.
Wow.
7 steps, particularly for business success. But children do it. Children do it all the time. Whitney Houston was down in her basement holding up a broom handle and
wow.
a microphone singing to the broom handle. Okay?
You know.
So what she was doing was future dreaming.
Oh.
And I know she
Woo.
Was doing it because her mother said she was doing it, okay? And then her
mm.
mother spoke her future. I went to see her
mm.
in the hospital. I went to see her in the hospital when she was 2 days old. And her mother,
mm.
I said, what are you going to name this pretty baby? She said, I'm going to
mm.
name her Whitney because she's going to be famous.
Wow.
In other words, speaking things that are not as though they were. And that's
yes.
what I'm going to teach. That's what I'm going to teach your audience.
Oh.
How to speak your own reality. See, we live in circumstances, and we are controlled by circumstances. But I want to teach people how not to live in your circumstances. Live in your imagination.
Woo! You know, and that is so opposite of what many, many people are taught. Again,
absolutely.
I'm daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, you can't have that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know why you want? Oh, wow!
But you can have it now. Okay, you can.
But they tell
it
us
now.
We. People tell you, oh, get real. You know, get realistic. That's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've heard people say that.
What, Yes. What is reality, then, is the question. What is reality? Is reality this poverty I'm living in? Is that my reality? Because I lived in poverty at one time in my life as a child. Was that my reality? No, that wasn't my reality, because I had an imagination. My reality was the future and what I was going to do, and I was claiming that future while I was in poverty. Okay? So what did I learn in poverty? Oh, I learned that the window fell down one day and went through my wrist and went all the way through my hand. That was a reality. Mm. Was I going to live in that reality? No. I was making plans for my future. And I said, what did I do? I learned lessons. I learned that poverty is dangerous to your health. And I have a scar on my left wrist to prove it.
Okay? My
goodness.
Was
I going to live in that reality? No. I was not going to. I was going to live in my imagination. And my imagination took me to be the first black advice columnist in this country for Essence Magazine. So if I had lived in that reality, I would still be living with this scar on my left wrist. But that's not where I was living. I wasn't living in my circumstances. I was living in my imagination.
Wow. So how do we encourage...
And that's where you've been living, too.
You know, and I'm just so amazed at how God brought us together for me to, man, please, to realize this after all these years. I'll be 56 this year, and I'm just now, I feel like I was just born, you know, because I never knew. I'm just blown away.
Dr. Norman, Vincent Peale said something in this Power of Positive Thinking that's so... people are terrified by their own power. And sometimes, you know what, when you're terrified, sometimes you're catatonic. You can't even move. But you got to tell yourself. Yeah. You become catatonic because you're so consumed with fear. And he said, this is a story of a man telling his son that he could do it, but he was terrified and frozen. So he said, son, you can do it. I will tell you how. Then he made one of the most wisest remarks he ever heard a man tell his son. He said, do this first. Throw your heart over first over the bar, and then your body will follow.
My Lord.
In other words, this boy was afraid to do this little run he had to do, jumping over a hurdle. Okay, actually, hurdle, like in the Olympics, you know, jumping over. He was afraid. And this is what he told him. Throw your heart over first, and then your body will follow. And that's what I'm telling your audience. Throw your heart over first, and your mind and body will follow your imagination.
Wow. Wow. Well, I just want people to know this woman here is just amazing. You've been listening to Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant right here on the LaLisa Williams Show. She's going to be with us longer. We have some more. I have a question from the chat room. Someone wanted to know, how do we encourage our children?
How do we encourage our children?
Yes.
One of the ways, I said it in my book, would you believe, at the end of my book, that you've got to start talking to children and telling them who they are and where they are going. You've already told them what's wrong with them. I want you to start telling your children what's right with them. And that's what black parents tend not to do. Okay? My mother used to tell me all the time, hey, baby, you something on a stick. What a wonderful expression to tell a child, you something on a stick. In other words, you're going places. We correct children a great deal, but we don't encourage our children. And I want black parents in particular to start telling their children how wonderful they are, okay? Because you know how to correct them, but you don't know how to give them the future. And the only way you can give children the future is by telling them what wonderful people they are going to be. In other words, tell them about their own destiny. Tell them about the beautiful beautiful person they are. Have a full-length mirror in your child's room so they can watch themselves grow and tell them how beautiful they are, because the culture is not telling them that, okay? Well, the culture is telling them how black they are, how wide their noses are, and how nappy their hair is, okay? And one of the things we've got to start doing to our children, is telling them how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are, what they're going to be. You got to ask them what they want to be when they grow up. And if they don't have an answer, start telling them about wonderful people who look like them.
Wow.
And that they can become one of these people, okay? We've got to start complimenting. That's the word. We've got to start complimenting African-American children. Because everything in the culture is anti them.
Everything you said.
Everything from beauty to cosmetics to education, everything about the culture is anti being totally African American. Okay? So start telling your children how wonderful you are, how wonderful they are every day. And that's the one thing my mother did for me. My mother loved me so much. She, when I would leave the house, one day as an adult, I said, "Why do you stand at the door and watch me when I leave?" She said, "Oh, I just want to see you as long as I can. You're so dear to me."
God.
Do we say that to our children? You know? No. No, we don't. We don't say such things to our children. We need to speak more lovingly and kindly and futuristically to our children. This is what I say on page 266. Give your children empowering messages. Praise all of their accomplishments. Number two, don't frame your children's destiny in a destructive manner. Oh, you're just like your ugly daddy. Stop saying that. Don't ever call your children names, okay? You're no good, okay? Separate the child from the behavior. Tell them, "I didn't like what you did." Don't call your child stupid. Okay? Try to remember what it felt like when you were a child. And start telling your children about the silly things you did and what you learned. And finally, find the activities that you can do together with your children. Okay? African-American children need parental dates. Take your child out on a date. Okay? Your children need to know you respect them and love them. You know what we could do for children? By reaffirming their power every day of their lives and telling them how wonderful they are. Parents, here's your homework assignment. Tell your children every day, "I love you," and every day give them a hug. So they won't go looking for it in sex. Hello?
Hello?
And most of us are suffering from skin hunger. We need to be touched. Touch your children, listeners. Please hug your children. Tell them how much you love them.
And now, Doctor, since you go ahead.
By doing that, you are affirming a positive future for your children.
Now, I was going to say, because you are a psychologist, you have, you know, the scientific research, you have the spiritual research and background, and you have the education all wrapped up in one and the life experiences. How hard is it for a woman who still has not healed that little girl or rescued her from the past or has experienced a lot of, still has a lot of unaddressed hurt and pain? And now they've had children, okay?
Right.
How easy is it going to be for her to now project that kind of love and nurturing and futuristic thinking to their children?
It's going to be very difficult. That's why her first assignment is go back and cherish and protect that wounded child. Go back and have a talk with that child and tell that child, "I couldn't protect you when I was little, but I'm an adult now. I've learned better, and
come
back to be your protector." She's got to go back and talk to that child before she can treat her own child with love and respect. Yes, you go back to that wounded child and tell her, "I couldn't protect you years ago when you were sexually molested. I was just a little girl myself, but now I'm here for you for the rest of your life, and I'm going to put my arms around you, tell you that I am your protector. I love you. You are a worthy human being. You are not a bad little girl. You did not cause these things to happen to you, and I love you, and I will be with you forever and ever." You've got to have that conversation with that wounded child. Before you can be the good parent you need to be with your child.
Now, that was just about a probably an $1,800 session.
It was. It was.
Because no one has ever, and I've been around a lot of people, psychologists, you name it, teachers, professors, preachers, pastors, prophets, whatever. This is the absolute first time that I've heard it put that way. And I believe that it, I just got healed.
Yes. Listen, that child in the classroom that day, named Lalisa, looking out of the window, she is still there. You've got to go back and comfort her and give her the reassurance that you have learned. Give her all the lessons that you have learned so that she can stop feeling persecuted in that classroom. You go right back and get her because you are now her defender. Okay? And once you settle that case, then you open the door of power for the rest of your life.
Lord.
This is for your audience. I hope they're listening.
They're listening. They're tuned in and they're listening. They're on the phone line. Got a couple in the chat room. They are listening.
And I want everybody to know, these little wounded people in your life, which is you, they're still waiting for you to come back.
Wow.
To be their defender. They're waiting for you to come back to be
their
defender. And you go back and talk to them, this little girl. Sometimes I go back and talk to the little girl in the second grade that I used to know, that used to be a part of me who was still there. And I tell her what a brave little soldier she was to have all these wonderful thoughts about the future. And I actually go back and congratulate Gwendolyn, this little seven-year-old in the second grade in Canton, Ohio Public Schools, to have such an imagination. What a wonderful little girl. Okay? And I go back and talk to her and let her know that she was a wonderful little girl to have such an imagination. When the culture was telling her all she could be was a maid, okay, or maybe
That's
a
good.
Nurse, and that was it. And she imagined herself out of that. Okay.
Now I have a. I think this is probably going to be a million-dollar question. Why does that hurt little girl exist? Why does she not just on
go
her
away?
Own?
Why
yes.
doesn't she go away?
Yes.
Because your personality and the compartments of your personality are the summation of who you are. Every life experience is still in your computer. Where is your computer? In your brain. What's inside? What does a computer have? It has a memory. So all parts of you are still up in your brain, in your memory bank. And you've got to go back sometimes and analyze those parts of your memory bank and which parts need some attention. That's why you go for therapy. That's why you go for therapy. Because all of these little people, all of these your childhood, your adolescence, your adulthood, all these people are still inside of you. To go back and examine all those parts of yourself. That's what therapy does.
Gotcha. Because I was wondering about that. I meet so many women. I work in the halfway house. I speak to people coming out of prison. I speak to people coming out of drug rehab centers. And I believe all of them have that problem that you're just talking about. The reason they cannot even release their power to say, let me get off of a drug addiction, though it's destroying me, but they keep going back to it.
Yeah,
and they can't.
They haven't examined all these little compartments of themselves. That's part of the reason. You got to analyze all these little compartments and departments of this self that created this person who's here now who has the addiction. Okay? I remember very clearly that back in my 20s I was a smoker and I couldn't get rid of it. And I finally had to examine all of these little compartments of myself, and I analyzed myself. And I said to myself, you are a junkie, just like somebody on heroin. So I went back and I found this part of myself, and I said, this is the addictive junkie part of your personality. Now, listen to me, Gwendolyn. You are 20, I think I was 25 or something. I said, you flipped this cigarette out on the parkway. And you are never to pick it up again the longer you live. I don't care what the enemy of your soul tells you. You will not pick it up. This is where I spoke to myself. For 3 years, I still wanted to smoke, but I spoke against the enemy of my soul. Whenever the enemy of my soul spoke to me and told I must have this cigarette, I told them that I was in charge, not the addiction. Okay, so I spoke to that addiction for 3 more years because I still wanted to pick up the cigarette, but I didn't pick it up because I had the power, not the addiction.
Wow,
that's called mind control. Your mind controls your body, not the opposite. We think the addiction's got me. No, the addiction doesn't have it. Has your body. It doesn't have your mind. Okay. The chemistry of your body has submitted to the addiction, but you still have a control center. Where is the control center? Your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the power is in your mind.
Wow. Okay?
We think it's in the body, but it isn't. It is in your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And once you get that power control, that's where your power is. That's when we can have control of every aspect of our lives.
But there are so many women who, Dr. Grant, today, because we have all of the makeup and the nails and the hair and the clothing, it's easy to cover up all of the hurt and the pain, but yet we still sometimes are absent of the power, but yet we think we have the power because we can adorn ourselves on the outside, whether it be with education and fancy clothing and a wonderful home, but yet inside we are crumbling, we're breaking. We have huge corporate jobs, but our marriages are a wreck. Or we have these wonderful positions in the church, but at home we're in domestic violence. Why is this?
You know, the cover girl, I like that terminology you use, the cover girl. And I think that's part of our problem why we can't get to our power, because we're using the cover girl as a cover. It really is, not only is she covering, she's smothering your power. She's not just covering your power. This cover girl is smothering your power. Because this power, first of all, the cover girl is from the outside. God looks on the inside. We're trying to use the outside to be the power girl when the inside is the power girl. I worry about what you just said, the cover girl. And a lot of us use the cover girl with the makeup and the
absolutely
and all of it.
The degree, yes. What do you mean? We teach our children to do this.
Wait a minute.
But we teach our kids.
And the degrees, too. Don't forget that.
Yes.
Okay? That sometimes becomes the cover, too. Okay?
Absolutely. Well, our kids, even. We start them off very, very early in the outside power. But there's no inside discovery of the inside power. We don't teach them about personal. Yes.
And that's what we're going to do at your conference of leadership and entrepreneurs. Teach.
Wow.
And I'm going to give them 7 steps, ordered steps. Order my steps.
Wow.
We're going to give them 7 ordered steps how to get there. Let me teach. I'm going to give them the psychology, and this may want everybody to come.
Yes.
This is called the war of words that I designed. It's called the war of words. War. Mm. And it's called words, actions, results. And that's an acronym. Words is W, A is actions, R is results. That's called war. The war of words for positive results. And this is my litany. What you say becomes your day. How you act is what you attract. What you believe is what you receive. What you expect is what you get.
My God.
What you dread will control your head.
Mm-hmm.
Take a stand, but with
mm-hmm.
a plan.
Mm-hmm.
How you talk is what you walk.
Wow.
The words you use determines what you will choose.
Mm-hmm.
What you forgive, you can outlive. And
mm.
how you look shows what you took.
My God.
I'm going to investigate all of that, and all of your audience will have copies of this.
Wow.
To take home.
Wow.
To investigate their own inner power. But
ooh,
this is called war of words.
On war of words. Well, you
the
know
war
what?
War of
and
words for positive.
Well, I know. Okay, go ahead.
War of words for positive, progressive results.
Ooh, I just. Oh, well, my soul's been set on fire. I don't know about you all, but I am fired up. Jacked up sideways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Twyla Porter used to say, and she's a millionaire today, and I used to hear her say that. So when you say a war of your words, she used to say that all the time. She said, Lalisa, I am fired up, jacked up sideways. And you know, I want people to know, you are the official energizer.
Yes, the official energizer.
I'm like the junior energizer.
And I think
you are.
I think we don't want people depressed. You know, the most depressed population in the country. Guess who it is?
Don't tell me it's women.
It's black women.
Wow! Come on.
Let's be specific, okay?
You're kidding.
It's black women. Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Dr. Alvin Toussaint, a great black psychiatrist.
Oh Lord.
Always talks about this. We're the most depressed. The population in the country. And
but why?
And
but why?
We have the highest rate of HIV/AIDS among black women. We have the highest rate of unemployment. We have the highest single-parent families, lack of education, the whole bit. So therefore, we've got to teach black women the avenue, the route to get their power. Because
you know
we were
what?
Doing better. We were I said in my book, we were doing better before 1960. Before 1960, 80% of African-American families were intact families. Would you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're the lowest on the there. Half of American families end in divorce in this country.
My
That's
God.
The average. Half of American
wow.
families end in divorce. But our divorce rate
wow.
is even higher.
Wow. Wow.
2 out of 3 marriages are divorced about in African-American families. And we've got to go back to our core values. Did you hear that? Our
I
core
heard you. That's,
values.
Do you know what? Well, y'all, I want to let y'all know her new book, The Best Kind of Loving.
Loving.
Woo!
There's all kinds
love
of
it.
Loving, but we want to teach women the best kind of loving. And the best kind of loving begins with yourself, and it's not being selfish.
Well, you're going to have to teach this because there are too many people. I hear the terms all the time. People love to throw that label. That's another label that people will throw on you and say that you're selfish.
Yes. You're selfish because you're
and all especially
about
to African American women.
What do they tell you on the airplane? Fasten your seatbelt first before you help somebody else. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because self-preservation is the first law of nature. It's what is the order? It's GSO first: God, self, and then others. That's the way to go. The GSO, God, self, and that's the order that we should be living our lives in, okay? God first, me next, and everybody else after.
But we got it backwards because we've been told and taught and trained that.
You know why? Because we get the commandment wrong. What is the commandment? What does it say in that commandment? Okay? Love thy neighbor
as you
thyself.
Love. Okay. So that means you got to love yourself.
Self first.
in order to love your neighbor.
But they get the commandment wrong, because the commandment says, love thy neighbor. Then they think the neighbor is up there above you. Then it says, as thyself. Okay?
Wow.
So we got the order mixed up, okay? Because the commandment says, love thy neighbor. Then we stop there. And then the next sentence is, as thyself.
Wow.
How are you going to know how to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself first? You won't even know what love is unless you love yourself.
Well, this book is reaching millions. I know you have, you know, taught over 8 million women just through your Essence column when you were with them.
For 25 years.
I was one of them. I'm so glad that I read your columns, or else when I met you, I wouldn't have even known who you were.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I heard your name, I knew. That's the Dr. Gwendolyn Golsky Grant, this woman who wrote for Essence. I'm sure, had I not been reading your columns, my life probably would have even been worse. But you gave me at least some hope to know that I had to love myself, you know, between your teaching and my mother's teaching and then my grandmother's teaching. You three women, and, you know, you I just knew on paper.
That's right.
So I thank God for women like
you.
You
see the power of words? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
The power of words.
Yes. Yes. I didn't read anything else in that magazine, but because I remember those days when I would go to maybe someone's beauty salon or different places and the magazine might be there and I would pick it up. But your columns, I mean, because I was going through something as a young black woman at that time, and you had a relevant word.
Yes.
You was giving us that hope, and now your book, The Best Kind of Loving, A Black Woman's Guide to Finding Intimacy. Ladies, you need to
misunderstand
this book.
Intimacy, too. We misunderstand intimacy.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, because we think intimacy means sex. No. Intimacy means the deepest, most sacred part of yourself. You need to find it so you can lead somebody else into it.
Well, they're going to get that book because that is
the most sacred part of yourself.
Wow.
It's where you find intimacy, okay? And then if you know where that place is, then you can lead somebody else into it, okay?
Wow.
But
this
men
is awesome.
Men tend to stop at the first two letters of the word intimacy, and they see, think they've achieved their goal.
Exactly. They're so true. And they can get this book. So many, you can go to any bookstore and ask for the book. You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
You can get it.
You can get it online. You can purchase it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Just type it into Google
Amazon,
and about a thousand links will come up. This book is African-American women. Women, we are coming out, and she's bringing millions with her.
Yes.
Dr. Grant, she heals not only the mind and the heart. That's what Dr. Susan L. Taylor said. I've experienced it right here on the show today, and I'm sure others did. I know someone had a question. I don't know if they still wanted to. They would have to hit their number one key. She may have time for at least, you know, one question, and if there's anybody with a burning question. But our phone lines are lit up, and I know a lot of times people just want to listen. Especially on a topic with the things you've touched on. I know that you've talked about women in your teachings. You teach on how women need to network together.
That's right.
And that these women networking. Yes. When you talk about that, it just sends chills through me when
it's
you talk about how.
Too, it's good for your health, too.
Sometimes. But what about these women who say, well, I don't get along with other women and I don't like being around other women?
What she's really saying is she doesn't get along with herself. Because other women are just a reflection of who she is. I don't know what. So I would like to put that out there, too. When you say you can't get along with other women, that means you have some problems inside of yourself where you're not really in love with yourself. You're at war with yourself.
Wow. I hear women say that.
Yeah.
Sure, they say, I'd rather have all men friends because I don't get along with women.
That's called an anti-self remark. Hello?
Wow.
Okay, you're talking about yourself and you think you're talking about other women. You're saying, in fact, I really don't like myself. That's what you're really saying. okay?
My
but you
goodness.
Think you're talking about other people, because the only person you really know is not other people. You really know yourself.
Mm.
So you're saying, I don't like myself very much. Because you can't say that about other people because you don't know them that well.
Mm.
The only person you really know is yourself. So you're saying more
wow.
about yourself than you are about other people. Okay?
Wow. The renowned Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, and I know she has a very full and busy schedule. We are so blessed to have her on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, she is going to be at our event coming up in Newark, New Jersey on the 25th, where she's going to give us those points, those 7 points of
That's right.
being the
how
taking back
get
our
your personal power. How to
how,
get your
oh, man.
Power.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And this is something we need right now.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
This is something we need. Like you said, the world is in dire straits for what they're going to do next.
Right.
In terms
but
of.
But this is the century of the woman.
Mm.
I have declared it so. And so it
yes,
is.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes, yes.
This is the
Amen.
Century of the woman. Get on board.
Get on board. Women, get
That's
on
right.
board. And wow, you've said, you've given us so many nuggets of wisdom. But the keys to that, to tapping into your personal power, because
your
there are so many
power.
People who think they are powerful because of the jobs that they hold, because of the degrees that they hold, or the money they have at the bank, or even maybe to be about who they are married to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Some women, the moment they get a husband, you know, that is their
yes.
power.
Yes. Because they think they found their other half. I don't believe in that either. God created whole people, not half people. So stop using that, my better half. You're a whole person. I teach whole person psychology in my book. Let me tell you what a poet said. Her name is Mari Evans. She said, you bring a whole person and I bring a whole person, and then we will have twice as much of love in everything.
Mm.
And you half people, okay?
Wow.
And we didn't think of themselves
wow.
in halves, you know. That's why there's
I know.
A man. Yeah, that's why
they're That's why they say
man.
I'm only half. That's it. Wow.
Right. No, no. That's why they seek out a man, because they think they're searching for their other half. No, you're a whole person, so is he a whole person, okay? And when we look at each other, male and female, you're just looking at the other side of yourself, okay, the male side or the female side, okay, because we are androgynous people possessing both male and female characteristics.
Well, Dr. Grant is an expert in human sex psychology and relationship,
in
the relationship psychology, yes. And so for these teenagers, just one last question, because it's a burning question for me, because I have to go out and talk to some teenagers. For the teen girl, the 14-year-old, the 13 or whatever, this, you know, they get to that age where they may want to experience with sex, whether it's sex
right.
from another girl or sex from a boy, but they want
right.
to experience something.
Right.
And but we want them to focus on their schoolwork and getting their
right.
college education.
Okay.
But sometimes it becomes a battle for the parent. What can
okay.
we tell them
okay.
that can help them?
Okay, the first thing we can tell them is sex is yourself. It's not some boy. It's you. You are a sexual person. That's why they call you a female. That's your sex. Okay? So allow girls to examine their own bodies. That's called having sex. Okay, they need to be able to know where their clitoris is, know where their vaginal opening is. They need to know where they urinate from. They need to know where their urethra is rather than their vaginal barrel. They need to know all of these parts, and this is called sex. Okay, if you want to have sex, get a mirror and examine your sexual body. Know all parts of your body, how it works, and you are having sex. And if you don't want to use the word sex and you're very religious, then we will go to the Bible for you. So the Bible says your body is your temple. So now you're having temple talk about your body. You need to know all parts of your body, and that is the way to have sex. You don't need a boy to teach you sex. You need your mind to teach you sex. You need to get a book, find out how your body works, what your period is, what reproduction is, what all of that is having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to open up your own legs and look at
your own sexual
identity. Your vagina is simply your sexual identity. Your whole body is sex, okay?
Mm.
But your vagina, because you have a vagina, that means you are a female. So all of you is sexuality. You need to allow your children to be sexual at home, to let them have hand mirrors, let them have full body mirrors so they can examine themselves after they take a bath, okay? They need it. And you need to celebrate their period. When they have a period, you need to have a party. Have a period party. And give these little girl gifts so she now is a big girl. Okay? Because she has her teacher how to take care of herself. If she happens to have her period when she's in school, teach her how to make a sanitary napkin out of toilet paper. Fashion right at home. Show her that you shape the toilet tissue into a sanitary napkin that she can put it between her legs when she's in school. She doesn't even have to go to the nurse. She knows how to make a little sanitary napkin out of toilet tissue herself. Okay, because you've already told her that this is becoming a big girl. Okay? These lessons are so simple and uncomplicated. I don't know why parents aren't teaching these children sex.
Oh, God.
This is how you teach a girl sex. Not
a little
boy with a penis. That's not
my
sex.
My Lord. But that's what they think it is.
No, they
and
do
then,
because nobody else has taught them that sex is yourself.
We're scared to tell them. Well, we don't know. First of all, Dr. Grant, let's just keep it real.
Okay.
I can't teach that because I don't know that. That's number one.
You don't know that.
Because I don't believe that you can teach what you don't know.
Yep. Amen.
So how can I teach my daughter that sex is her if I don't know that? Nobody ever told me that. I know is when I got to a certain age, they told me, don't kiss him, don't sleep with him, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know about sex is what the TV shows me, let's sex it up, what the commercials show me, sexy. That's what we know. Let's face it.
That's right.
Who's talking like you, Dr. Grant?
I'm telling your audience that to tell your daughters that they are sex. Their whole body is sex.
My God.
Okay? And when they start examining that body, they are being sexual. Okay? And they have permission from their mothers to be sexual. You got it?
My God.
It is not
because,
a little
you know,
boy. It's not a little boy. A little boy should not teach your daughter sexuality.
My Lord.
You should teach her. To love her own body, to examine her body, to know how it works, to know where she urinates from, to know where her period comes from, out of her vaginal barrel, out of that canal, that's where it comes from. She needs to know all of that. She needs to know that little organ that's at the top of her vagina is her clitoris, and it has more nerve endings in it than a male penis. It is very delicate and is very pleasurable when she touches it. And she is not a bad girl when she touches it. Because it's a part of her temple, and she can touch all parts of her temple. Amen.
Well, amen. And, you know, and I know you are so right on that because I remember when I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, after having dropped out of high school, my mother would make me go to these different CETA programs that they had back in the 70s. And there was one program in North Avondale that I sat in, and it was about maybe 25 of us in there, boys and male and female. And I'll never forget the teacher. I can't remember his name. I wished I could because I give him kudos. He must have been a psychologist or something because I remember one day he said something I never forgot, and it did help me a lot. He asked a question. He says, he must have said, who are you? Or something like that. And then when he went around the room, everybody, of course, was, I'm this, I'm that. And some people just gave their names. But I remember him saying, no, you are a male or you are a female.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began to explain a little bit about, like what you're saying about how, you know, a male or female, that's your sex.
That's right.
But that's like as far as he got. He didn't break it all down like you just did, but he did make it clear that being, either you're the male sex or you're the female sex. As opposed to a person just thinking that sex means getting, intercourse.
Sexual intercourse, yeah. Sex is yourself, the examination of yourself. That is sex, okay? And we should allow children to examine their sexuality. Their sexuality is their temple, and they live inside of their temple, so they should know all aspects of their temple. And they are allowed to touch parts of their temple, okay, in praise of the creator of their temple. Don't tell them they can touch their nose and not touch their clitoris. That's nonsense, okay? If they touch their nose, if they touch their toes, they can touch their clitoris. Okay,
and
if
you
they
see
put their
boys,
finger in their
boys
nose,
are,
they can put their little finger in their vagina and see how that works.
Well, boys are always touching them. Well, little boys are always touching themselves,
touching
and we
their,
celebrate
they,
them.
They celebrate they're touching their sexuality. So we should give girls the same body permission. Same
and now
thing.
We have girls going around touching their private areas, and guess what? And then we say, oh, she's acting like a boy.
Right. But this private area means private. It doesn't mean public. I don't believe in public exhibitionism. That's different, okay? I don't teach exhibitionism. So don't tell me that exhibitionism is sexuality. Exhibitionism is exhibitionism, okay? Okay? Your private parts are your private parts in private, okay? That's called common sense, and that's what I teach too.
Wow. Well, you've done some serious teaching here today. Everyone, please, we thank you for tuning in. For those who are on the phone lines, it's almost time to go. The show is almost over. We had some people in the chat room that were listening. People are already inboxing me on Facebook saying that it was an awesome show. They've listened in. Some other people are going to be down at the many people are going to be down at the place in Newark at the Union Building where you're going to be our keynote speaker, where you're going to give us those seven keys to releasing the seven steps. Oh, yes, seven steps to
releasing
our personal
power.
Wow. She's going to have her books there on sale, but you can also go online because I know I'm going to go online and get my copy. I don't want to wait another minute without reading that book. I'm out here dealing with women every day. I need that book. If you are a pastor, a minister, a mother, a grandmother, you're raising anybody's daughter. Dr. Grant is to the point where if I had a child and you haven't read that book, I wouldn't even really want you talking to my child. I don't want you teaching her. I don't want you. I'm sorry. If you're a teacher, I don't want you teaching my child. You haven't read that book. Because you really don't. You may be saying the wrong thing to her.
And I think it's so important to celebrate our children's bodies. Okay. Stop acting like this is some big secret that they should not investigate their own bodies. Oh, that's nonsense.
Nonsense.
Your body is your temple. And if it's your temple, you should know all parts of your temple. Okay?
That's
right. Let some other little boy examine your
temple. Let some boy discover you. Yeah, they have these.
Amen. Thank you very
much.
And
by the time the discovering is over, now you have a child.
Now you have a child, okay? Because he doesn't know what he's doing, okay?
Exactly.
In your body. Your body is your temple, and it is precious.
Wow.
You should know about your body, not some little boy. Okay.
That's like letting somebody come into your house.
That's right. Your body is not a throwaway and a giveaway.
Jesus. We so needed this today. I tell you, Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, you are awesome and amazing. I thank God for you. I just thank God for the work that you are doing. Your book, The Best Kind of Loving, which a person can pick up on the internet. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble's. You can go to Nook. You can go to every ebook reader. You can. They all are carrying this book. Any store you walk into, if they don't have the book, they'll order the book. Yes, they will. She teaches on teaches how to. Oh my gosh, she teaches a black. It's the subtitle of the book: A Black Woman's Guide to Finding Intimacy. And I'm here to say, it's never too late. I'll be 56 this year, and it's never too late, no matter how old.
You're so young. Your first, by the way, your first 50 years is a rehearsal. Your second 50 is your command performance. Hello.
Woo! Oh, my goodness.
You're doing your command performance, Sister Lalisa. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love you. You know what?
The first 50.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know what? Oh, my God. You are just amazing. Wow. You know what? Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone, you need to know that, you know, Dr. Gwenda, and I've heard you many times on the Michael Bazin show.
Yeah.
I've seen you on Oprah Winfrey. I've seen you on almost every other talk show you've ever been on
yes,
television.
Everyone.
I've watched it, and I said, I never in my wildest dreams thought mm-hmm. I would have you on my little radio show. I called
it
my little radio show.
Because you were future dreaming there in that public school. You were future dreaming. That's why you are where you are today, because you were future dreaming.
So I celebrate your next book coming out. I suspect there'll be another book coming soon.
Yeah, it's about the psychology of victimology, teaching people how not to be a victim.
My
of
God.
Their circumstances. Okay, because we're becoming victims of circumstances, because circumstances
are
controlling our lives. That's right. We're not.
We
in
are.
Charge. Circumstances are allowed to be in charge. So I'm teaching the psychology of non-victimology. Okay?
Wow. That. When can we expect that book?
I'm rewriting it right as we speak. Because I've been writing it for a few years. Because the psychology is so difficult. You can't just talk off the top of your head with the psychology of victimology. Because every time I turn around, we got a new set of victims. Because look at the victim. I mean, shooting.
Yeah.
Shootings.
Yeah. Yes.
I
sure.
mean, in
sure.
churches, in mosques,
yes.
in temples.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
You
just look what
how
we,
many times I had to rewrite this. Because all
well, look at what we just had. Well, look at what we just had here in New Jersey, where the young man, he was only in his early 20s, pushed his girlfriend, who was holding their 3-month-old baby, out the window of a third-story building. Now, the baby died. Yeah, the baby died. She's she's still in the hospital, I believe, a few weeks ago.
And look at this man that went into a Sikh temple, you know.
Yes.
And
shot up,
blowing everybody away, okay?
Yeah, and so, into the movie theater.
Yes.
The guy who went into the movie theater dressed in black.
Yes. Dressed in black, yes. It's all kinds of
we see victimization every day on our streets, in our communities. Some people are scared
school.
To. I had one girl tell me yesterday, I don't let my kids go outside and play.
Oh.
She said, I said, why not? She said, it's just too dangerous where I am. She said, there's a shooting every day.
Oh,
she lives over in Jersey City. She said, there's a shooting every day. I said, she said, where I live. She just told me this yesterday. She said, I don't let my kids go outside. She said, I don't let my kids go outside and play.
Oh, have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Young. She's probably about 25 or so herself, 27, between 25 and 30. So her kids got to be like young, 8 or 9,
yes,
I would imagine.
Absolutely.
And she lives in a place so dangerous that they can't even go outside and play.
Yes.
Right here in
New
Jersey.
Yeah.
Not Cambodia, not some war-torn.
Thank you.
Here in New Jersey.
Not Cambodia. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Not in Iran. I'm talking about right here, just a few miles away.
Mm-hmm. That's why I've been writing this book for a few years, because the psychology of victimology keeps changing. Every time I set a standard, a new standard erupts. That's why it's been very difficult to write, because everything keeps changing. Okay, about the psychology of victimology. Okay, You think you have it held down? You got the theory right, and another thing occurs. Okay, it's really a very interesting time to live. It really is.
It really is. Well, you have set us on fire, and we know you have to go on and do other things. But if anyone, you know, again, we have people on the line, so if anyone would have had a question, they would have raised their hand by now. But I'm sure a lot of people are probably just, you know, stunned, and they're probably healing that little girl. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, my God. You just don't know how.
I hope a lot of your listeners healed their wounded child while we were talking.
They will. Because now we know how. Like I said, I was told to do that, but nobody ever told me how to do it, Dr. Grant.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I never had, you know, in my mind, I never had the type of money to go and, you know, work with a psychiatrist to get that done or a psychologist. And so it wasn't until, you know, I met you and then, you know, you unlocked that door for me. And and I said to my sister one day, I says, oh, yeah, I was on the phone with my psychologist. She said, who? Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I have a psychologist now. She was like, huh? I was like, she was like, wait a minute, I didn't know you was crazy. And so
see, that's the problem with black people. It's hard enough to be black and female. You don't want anybody to think you're black and crazy. Okay?
I know, right, that's what happened.
You are not crazy when you seek help.
Thank you. Especially
crazy.
Well, especially if they can get someone like you, Dr. Grant. I'm sorry. I'm just keeping it real, Dr. Grant.
You need to go inside of yourself and talk to somebody just for a checkup. You don't see how am I doing? Just go and talk to somebody just to find out how you're doing. You go to doctors for checkups, don't you? You don't go when you have a heart attack. You need to go to check on your heart. Amen. You need to check on your mind the same way.
But I don't know. It's just something about you. I think you have, I mean, I don't, you know, you probably can give us a list of other psychologists, but, I mean, you just seem to me to have such a loving spirit as it relates
That's the word, spirit. That's right.
You do, Dr. Grant. You really do. I'm sorry to say, but you have, not sorry to say, but I mean, and I'm not saying other people don't, Dr. Grant, but I've just met so many people in my life, and I'm telling you, it's just something about your spirit from the moment I first met you, from the moment I first heard you speak. I said to myself, wow, you know, you were the, you know, I'm like, okay. And I can't say where she's been all my life because, thank God, I know where you were for 25 years. You were the columnist for Essence Magazine. And
you want me to answer that, where you've been in my all my life? I was in your future.
Wow. Oh, man, you had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I was in your future, not in your daydreams.
Wow, Dr. Grant, that's so, you know what, now do y'all see why I love this woman? No, oh, my God, you just blew my mind with that one.
I said,
where were you all my life?
In your future.
And then you told me, wow,
not
Dr.
In your
Grant,
daydreams.
Dad,
teacher,
you know, and that's why.
The teacher was wrong. I was right.
Dang.
I was in your future,
and that's why
your daydreams.
I had to get here. I had to get to this moment. The devil tried to kill me when I was out there on the streets and a prostitute, a couple of people picked me up and took me, and they could have easily murdered me. Nobody knew where I was, and I don't know who these people were. And they were big and burly looking, and we were down there in Dade County, Miami, Florida, which if anybody know anything about Miami, you know the worst part to be in is Dade County. And But God let, oh, man, because my future, oh.
Yes, but you were right. Dade County could have been Dead County for you.
For me? That place was horrible back then. I don't know what it's like today.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in the 80s. That was when crack cocaine wasn't even called crack cocaine then.
That's right.
AIDS was just hitting the scene, and you got it, and you were dead in less than 6 months.
Amen.
There was no such thing as HIV.
Amen.
And God allowed, you were in my future, and
that's right.
He showed me a glimpse of my future. He showed me a glimpse of my future when you know, 18 and 19, I remember, you know, the articles you had written in the Essence magazine, you know. And for me, Dr. Grant, that was big because, remember, the struggles I had in school, the reading wasn't there, and I was labeled as a child who couldn't read and hated to read. So I adopted that label, and I said, I don't like to read, so I wouldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
I had to support the label.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. That's what happens when you get a label. You become the label, not yourself. Hello?
Exactly. Yeah, the label said you don't like to read, you're not a reader, you can't read. So then I said, I can't read, I don't like to read, and so therefore I didn't read.
That's
only to have
to
go to college.
Right. That's why you need to tell your children, listeners, how wonderful they are, how smart they are. Paint pictures, mind pictures. Tell them where they're going and how wonderful their lives are going to be.
Well, we have about 10 seconds left, and I need to ask you this last question. What if your child is already grown, you've already did a lot of damage to that child, how do you turn it around?
One of the ways is to go back and apologize to that child and tell that adult child, I was a child myself, I was learning to be a parent, and I made so many mistakes. Forgive me for my mistakes and love me for who I am today. And I came
mm-hmm.
back to tell you that I'm your mother and I love you. With all my mistakes, with all my misgivings, with all of my backwardness, I have become the person I am today, and I'm strong enough and I'm wise enough to tell you I love you.
Well, everyone, that is absolutely it. From the chat room, they said, God bless you, Dr. Gwendolyn Lingosley Grant.
So
awesome
Thank
broadcast.
So
they absolutely love you. Excellent program. Somebody else has said, you know, life or death. We want life. We want to live.
Yes.
Our words speak life, someone said. You said
yes.
The words, words on war, war on words.
Yes.
No.
And I hold you going
okay.
to be the victor and the winner in the war on words.
We are. We are. We love you so much. Hundreds
Thank
and hundreds
you.
Are going to go back and listen to this archive. They're going to be blessed. They're going to be set free. They're going to now be equipped
Amen.
To go and do their God-given purpose. And they're
right.
going to. Some are going to register. They're going to go online. They're going to purchase your book. They're going to register for the conference where they're going to come and hear about the steps to releasing their inner power. Wow. Okay. Well, we love you so much. We
I love
thank
you.
Everyone
Look
for
you
for
August, Saturday, August the 25th.
Yes, yes, yes. And we will be back in touch with you. Thank you so much. Thank
God
you
bless.
For tuning in. And for those of you who have stayed tuned the entire time, if you have any other comments, you can post them on Facebook. Go tell everyone to tune in to the archive of this broadcast so that they can be the women. My goodness. It's our, she said, this is the year, this is the century of the woman. No, this is a century. This is our century, y'all. We're going to do it big, bigger than we've ever done. We're no longer going to shrink to these labels that have been placed on us. We're no longer going to shrink to not realizing that it's not about the power that's just on the outside and what we wear and what we have and things. But that we have a power within us. We're no longer going to feel devastated about our teenagers. We're no longer going to feel like they'll not be this and they'll not be that. And we won't attach negative words to them versus handling their behavior. We're going to speak love and life to our sons and our daughters. We're going to teach our daughters about their sex. Oh, man, you're so much here today. I'm just overwhelmed and... Talk about waiting to exhale. We thank God for your husband. We thank God for your wonderful husband, Dr. Grant. And we just pray that, you know, God just continues to bless you with just supernatural, overflowing blessings, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grands, and just every day. He just makes every day sweeter than the day before for you.
Amen.
And how many people you are helping and just your willingness and you thought it not robbery.
Amen.
Okay, well, we love you all and we'll see you back here. Goodbye.
And live as long as you want and never want as long as you live. Amen.
Woo.
Goodbye.
That's it from Dr. Grant, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m., right here on the show.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.